Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is. The 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming online at WQAM.com. Text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. What was your favorite movie about self-aware robots or artificial intelligence? I don't agree with this. A texter writes in, I thought AI was better than Ex Machina. I didn't like AI. Do you ever see that movie with the, I think it was with the kid from The Sixth Sense? I think that was this Haley Joel Osment. It just went on too long.
Never seen it.
And don't waste your time. I mean, it wasn't a terrible movie. It's actually a Spielberg directed movie. I don't know, something about AI. It wasn't terrible, but it lost me towards the end of the movie. I thought Ex Machina was, the pacing was a little bit better. Yeah, I think my favorite self-aware robot movies of all time. I mean, Ex Machina was up there. I like that a lot. But Terminators 1 and 2. I don't know what happened after part 2. Abominations. Terminator 3, not very good. Terminator Salvation, very, very bad. Terminator, I can't remember what the last one was called. Genesis, awful. And how do you call the fifth movie in a series Genesis? Isn't that the first of everything? Made no sense. Awful, awful movie. But and I also liked the first Matrix was a very good movie about, you know, the artificial intelligence, the robots taking over and enslaving the human race. I hope none of that comes true, by the way, but those are some of my favorite movies about the artificial intelligence and robots becoming self-aware. I hope it doesn't end like that for us. I hope it doesn't. But would that be better than a zombie apocalypse? Because that would be pretty frightening as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to James in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, Donald? Just to get the artificial intelligence out there, iRobot with Will Smith, that was a pretty interesting movie as well.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad. It wasn't great, but I'd probably put that kind of in the same category I put AI, where it was all right. It wasn't my favorite film, but I enjoyed it. I think I watched it maybe twice. I watched it in theaters. I watched it on a plane.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Now, and let me ask you a question. First of all, if you're objective, are you an objective observer as it comes to sports?
I definitely favor my teams, but I can give honest opinions.
Are you a Miami Hurricane homer? That's what I'm saying. Is that your
team? Yeah, sure, I'm a homer, but it doesn't mean I can't admit when things aren't
okay,
right.
Well, I'm getting ready to say something then.
All right,
Miami, as well as Florida State, they'll play only, I think, 11 games this year.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a victory against Boston College. Not Boston College, but a victory against
Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman, okay. You don't play Arkansas State, which is another subpar team. Okay, you're going to play Toledo, which you should beat. Mm-hmm. It'll be a challenge maybe for the first half, but you should find a way to win that game. You're going to play an 0-2 North Carolina team that I don't even think that will be bowl eligible this year from watching them in their quarterback situation. I don't think they'll be bowl eligible. You're going to play a Duke team that's probably not that spectacular. Your crossover game is against Syracuse, who just lost to Middle Tennessee.
Right.
They probably won't be bowl eligible. And the way I'm going with this is this. It's almost seemingly – I'm being honest here. I'm really being honest here. And if you're objective, you'll probably agree.
Uh-huh.
If Miami just line up and just roll their helmets out on the field, just line up a team and just go out there and just play general basic football – they should pretty much be undefeated. The only stumble would be a rescheduled game, which probably benefits both teams because the James Blackman is a true freshman at Florida State, And then you guys got Rozier, who's trying to find his way. But that's the only stumbling block in this schedule that you guys have.
I agree.
And if you go 11-0.
Although Virginia Tech is okay.
Virginia, but even they're still going with the freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
You guys should still find a way and manage a way to beat this. I would have to say, honestly, and what do you want to call it, luck or the stars line? This is the worst, if any ranked team in the top 25, this has got to be the worst possible. Washington's schedule was horrible last year, Washington Huskies. But this has got to be the absolute worst schedule.
See, I can't speak to that because I'm not going to pretend that I've studied a lot of team schedules. But I do agree. I can't say it's by far the easiest, but it is super easy. So I agree on that.
Pittsburgh is on your side. Pittsburgh just lost to Penn State.
Yeah.
The head coach of Penn State references Pittsburgh as like, well, you know what? It was just like beating Akron.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying about objectivity. You know, just being objective, and that's great. It works out for you guys, you know. And then some might say, well, we don't control the schedule. Yes, you do, because you guys just decided that we're going to play Alabama in 2021.
Yeah.
We athletic directors, you can control.
Exactly, and to what I'm saying, because when this year's schedule was decided, that was when Al Golden was still here, and he was scared to play anybody.
So let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Objectively speaking.
Sure.
Even with Al Golden, whoever was here, Miami is a premier program. Scheduling teams like Bethune, Cookman, Toledo, and Arkansas.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think you need
one of those on the schedule every year as a tune-up.
One.
Right,
yes,
but you don't
yes,
need
sir.
You don't need three of them on the schedule. So I'm
you
with you on that.
With all that said, and I don't know. Maybe I don't know how the committee would look at it. If Miami runs the table and goes undefeated, and I know it would be precedence, but then the committee would probably look at the amount of games they played and the strength of schedule, they may even still have a hard time even trying to get into the playoffs with a one-loss Power 5 team, so say an Ohio State or an Oklahoma or USC.
Hmm.
I would find it hard-pressed for them to even jump a team like that.
It's interesting because I don't know how many undefeated teams there are going to be, but
I'm
also like you're
just
saying,
historically speaking, one or two.
There could be like let's say you know a one like what if Alabama stumbles and finds a way to lose a game this year, but they win the SEC, they're a one loss team. Yeah, I could see a team like that getting a nod over Miami.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Four Power 5, 11-1 conference champions. Do you think? Whether it's the SEC, the Pac-12, do you think 4-11-1 or 4-12-1 conference champions would get a nod over an 11-0?
Not four. Not four, and I'll tell you why. Because Miami would still get the respect of getting through the ACC. They would have to beat Florida State in the regular season and beat Clemson or Florida State or Louisville in the ACC championship game.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Now,
so I'm saying I could see a possibility of a one-loss team or two jumping Miami, but not four. If they go undefeated, you're not going to get jumped by 4 1-loss teams. Not happening.
Okay. Let me this final thought here, though. I haven't watched two games, and I noticed how the season played out last year. But I like Florida State, but I'm being objective. I'm an objective fan. You know, I'm not a homer type. I'm a Florida State fan, but I'm objective. So far, I'm telling you, depending on what happens Saturday, it would solidify what I believe. I really believe Louisville is the best team in the ACC right now. If they beat Clemson, if they don't become complacent, they are the best team in the ACC. There's no doubt in my mind about it. If they beat Clemson this week, they have the total inside track to being a player. Now, an undefeated Louisville, they're definitely going to get in. There's no doubt about it, considering because they would have beaten Clemson. They would have beaten Florida State. They're going to beat the North Carolinas. States. You know what I'm saying? So their schedule, they're going to definitely get in.
All right, listen, I appreciate the call. Let me let you run, because if I go any longer there, I'm going to get bored, honestly. But no, okay. Somebody writes in, stop agreeing with this ass. Well, he's not an ass, first of all. But no, I don't see 4 1-loss teams jumping Miami if they go undefeated. No, there's no question the schedule is fortunate this year, right? It's fortunate that you don't have to play Clemson or Louisville, and that North Carolina took a big step back this year. And that, okay, Florida State, we don't know if their freshman quarterback is going to be bad, very good, great. We don't know that yet. So, yeah, the schedule is fortunate this year. But if Miami takes care of business, if they go 11-0 and then 12-0 if they win the ACC, then at that point, I believe they would have earned a tournament spot. They would have earned a playoff spot. Because it's not like, and you're talking about there how great Louisville is, and Louisville looks very good. Lamar Jackson looks awesome. If Miami wins the ACC, that means they beat Louisville. So that solves part of that problem. If Miami goes 11-0 regular season, wins the ACC, I think that's a strong enough resume that they probably get into the college football playoff. And I'm not going to count on that because Florida State is going to be a tough game and the ACC championship would be a very tough game. My expectation is not college football playoff this year. My expectation is probably a 10-1 season, very good bowl game, spot in the ACC championship game. That's my expectation for Canes football. I'm not even thinking college football playoff. But if they do go 11-0 and then 12-0 and beat Louisville in the ACC championship game, then yeah, I think the resume would speak for itself. Let's talk to Rick. You're on WQAM. What's up, Rick?
Man, I was ready to drive off the road with that conversation.
I apologize. It was just it took him a little bit too long to get where he was going.
The only reason I called was when I heard you talk about AI. I saw that movie in the theaters. I'm a big movie buff. I walked out of that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh my God! I was just like, what the hell did I just watch? I mean, you know, and I'm a big sci-fi kind of guy.
And I'm also, and I know that like Steven Spielberg butchered the movie, but it was like it was originally, I think it was a Stanley Kubrick movie, but he died like while they were making it or right before they made it, and Steven Spielberg took over.
Yeah.
And Spielberg, he screwed it up. Like Stanley Kubrick was one of my favorites ever, man. Full Metal Jacket.
You're talking about robot movies. One you didn't mention. I don't know if it falls in the same category. Yeah. The original Westworld.
Yeah, I never saw the movie. I've seen the show.
Man,
which
you got
fantastic.
You gotta get with Yul Brynner and Richard Benjamin. I think Josh Brolin. That movie is a robot. You know, I guess it's considered a robot movie. You know, whatever you're talking about, but that you got to put that on your list. I don't know how old you are. I'm 48, so I mean, I've kind of been through all those good movies back then. But hey,
nice.
What about the Dolphins, man? What do you think this week? I'll hang up here and you got to say, what are we expecting, man? I'll hang up here and you got to say.
Well, and partially, I don't know what to expect because you didn't play the first regular season game. I'm worried about the defense. Not going to lie to you. I'm worried about the defense because they didn't show me enough in the preseason. I'm a lot less worried about the offense. Why? Because Jay Ajayi is a stud. Because I think the offensive line problems are overstated if they stay healthy. Now, they are an injury away from potential catastrophe, but if you trot out that starting offensive line of Laramie Tunsil, Anthony Steen, Mike Pouncey, Jermon Bushrod, Juwan James, if the majority of them can stay healthy throughout the year, and I'm looking at Pouncey's direction, I think the offensive line is going to be fine. The wide receivers are one of the best trios in the National Football League, and can throw a fourth in there because it looks like Jakeem Grant can play. Jay Cutler has looked good. If he can stay healthy, he looked very good in the preseason. I worry very little about the offense, but the defense, I worry about Jordan Phillips. I worry about the linebacking core, Ray Maliluga, hamstring injury. So, yeah, I have concerns on the defensive side of the football, but I am not concerned about the Dolphins being rusty because these guys are professionals. If anything, they can use the first week bye to their advantage this week. It's going to suck come November. Come November, when you don't get a real bye week, then it's going to take its toll on you. But for week one, I'm not worried about rust because these are professionals and they have been practicing intensely. They didn't have a game to get injuries and players banged up. I think you're going to see a good version of the Dolphins this weekend, and I think they absolutely can beat the Los Angeles Chargers. I just worry about the defense holding up. That's all. You know, I wonder if you get improvements this year defensively, right? If Matt Burke can cut down on the yardage that Vance Joseph was bleeding last year with this Dolphins team. I don't know if you have the horses at linebacker to accomplish that this year. We had an interesting call earlier from Tracy in Miramar, or Tracy in Coconut Creek. He's somewhere in Broward County. But about his scenario, which will never happen, but his scenario was, what if the Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can come to a gentleman's agreement on November 19th, when both of them should have had a bye week, to treat it like a preseason game, play your second and third stringers? Well, a couple reasons why that will never happen. Number one, Roger Goodell would probably fine both teams out of existence, would bankrupt both teams. He would be so angry. That's number one. Number two, let's also not forget that if either or both of these teams, week 11, week 12, what is it, week 11, the bye week, would have been the bye week, that's when they play. If either of these teams or both are in the hunt for a playoff spot, yeah, sorry, they're not going to agree to rest anybody. So it's not going to happen. But I like the possibility. And I brought up off the top of my head the Christmas Day truce in World War One. So I looked it up to make sure I'm correct on it. And yeah, it did happen. The Christmas truce refers to a series of widespread but unofficial ceasefires along the Western Front of World War One around Christmas 1914. So there you go. You can have a week 11 truce. In the weeks leading up to the 25th of December, French, German, and British soldiers crossed trenches to exchange seasonal greetings and talk. In some areas, men from both sides ventured into no man's land on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to mingle and exchange food and souvenirs. There were joint burial ceremonies and prisoner swaps, while several meetings ended in carol singing. Men played games of soccer with one another, giving one of the most memorable images of the truce. So, I mean, there's no way that ever happens again in a war, right? And I'm not saying that World War One was great because they were like throwing mustard gas at each other. They were doing things that are now technically war crimes that were allowed back in those days. But why people say that was the last gentleman's war was the soldiers didn't treat it back in those days, at least 100 years ago. They didn't treat it like anybody who fights for the other army. You're a terrible human being. I hate you. I despise you. I must kill you. They looked at it more as we are soldiers. We are pieces to the puzzle. Our country needs us to fight, so we fight, but we respect the enemy. Like, that's why they could call a truce. I think any war that has happened within the last 100 years, both sides just want to, for the most part, just rain fury on each other. But back in World War One, I think there was a weird kind of respect that we don't necessarily have these days. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Not looking so good, by the way, for the Miami Marlins. 8-1, Phillies on top of the fish. Bottom of the eighth inning at Citizens Bank Park. The Alex Dono Show continues here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Yo, 560 WQAM.
This, I was about to say San Diego. Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn did mention today that he thinks the Miami Dolphins get a competitive advantage over his team this Sunday. This is from Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald. Their season opener postponed by Hurricane Irma, the Dolphins will face the unenviable challenge of playing 16 consecutive weeks. Yeah, Buccaneers the same. Not good, not fun. But the way Coach Anthony Lynn sees it, the Dolphins will have a couple of Irma-related advantages when they play in his Los Angeles Chargers in Southern California on Sunday. During a conference call with the South Florida Reporters on Wednesday, Lynn called the Dolphins, quote, the freshest team in the league because they didn't play in week one. He said an aura of mystery created by not playing this week also gives Miami something of an advantage. You know, that's something I hadn't considered, but that's a very fair point, actually. Because what film are you going over? Preseason? You going over a few drives from Jay Cutler in the dress rehearsal? You know, because obviously you know who Jay Cutler is. He's been in the league for 12 years, but you don't necessarily know Jay Cutler in the context of the Miami Dolphins offense with the pieces he has around him. Maybe your best bet is to go study Jay Cutler 2015 film when he played under Gase in Chicago, right? So there is, it's a great point. There is that aura of mystery. You not only have the fact that, you know, the Dolphins are the fresher team because, you know, once it was, I think it was Tuesday, was the last practice that they held in South Florida before resuming this week in Oxnard when they found out that they weren't playing this Sunday. So they do have fresher bodies. They didn't have to risk their health in a game this past Sunday. So they have that physical advantage. But, yeah, they probably also have the mental advantage of knowing that, hey, there's film on the Chargers from week one. There's no film on the Dolphins from week one. So that is interesting. That's a good point by Lynn. Quote, you would like to see them play the first week, see what they're doing, Lynn said while sending well wishes to the South Florida, to South Floridians in the aftermath of Irma. Preseason, you don't show a lot. I was in that division as a Jets and Bills assistant with that team, and I understand that personnel. We played them last year. We have a pretty good idea of what we're looking at. We don't know exactly what we're going to see. I'll take it. I will take whatever advantage possible. You know, and I know that from a fan standpoint, you have the uncertainty of, you know, wondering what exactly that offense is going to look like. Because like Anthony Lynn said, you're talking about seeing these guys play together. for really a handful of drives in the preseason. And, you know, offensively, they're not getting too creative because you don't want to give people film in the preseason. Defensively, you're running a lot of base stuff because you don't want to show a lot in the preseason. There's not a whole lot to go by. So I will take whatever advantage possible. And, you know, I know that both Miami and Florida State still have two games to play before they meet one another October 7th. But my initial reaction was, and tell me if you agree, and this is from the perspective of a Hurricanes fan, Canes backers out there, tell me if this was your same reaction, if you agree or disagree. But when I found out on Saturday evening that they were postponing the Florida State game from September 16th, would have been played this weekend, they postpone it until October 7th, my reaction actually, and this, of course, I understand why they did it. Hurricane recovery, I'm not questioning it. I'm not criticizing it. Reality, I understand it. But my initial reaction was I was a little bit upset because I thought, oh, that's an advantage for Florida State, right? To move the game back 3 weeks, given the circumstances, that's an advantage to Florida State because I wanted so badly at that point in time to be the team that Florida State faces in James Blackman's first collegiate start. I thought that would have been an advantage for Miami, a bigger advantage. And I get it. Malik Rozier also, you know, not as seasoned. Like he, you know, he hasn't been the guy. He's only been the guy since September 1st against Bethune-Cookman. But Malik Rozier has been at Miami now in his fourth year junior. So he's got more experience in the system. He's got more experience in the program. Whereas James Blackman was at his prom a few months ago, right? To face that guy in his first collegiate start as an 18-year-old true freshman, I thought that would have been a nice little advantage for Miami, and I was looking forward to that, right? I still, you know, I didn't like the idea when the game was announced, when we found out the date of the game last year that Miami is playing Florida State week three. I thought, oh, that's too early. But I was expecting to go up against DeAndre Francois. DeAndre Francois gets injured week one against Alabama. Then all of a sudden, I like the idea. And it would have been his second game. But since Florida State canceled their game this past Saturday, I'm thinking, oh, if we can be the first team that James Blackman starts against, that would be a nice little advantage for Miami. If they can put on any semblance of that pressure that they put on DeAndre Francois last year, where he took a ton of hits in that game against Miami. He was a second-year freshman, though. He was a redshirt freshman, already had a handful of starts under his belt. If you can rattle James Blackman the way that you were hitting and pressuring DeAndre Francois last year, I don't know how a freshman making his first start is going to respond to that. But unfortunately for Miami, James Blackman will be making his presumably third career start when the Hurricanes face the Seminoles. So I think that does bail out Florida State a little bit. Right, and I get it that Rozier is also getting seasoning from Miami, but Rozier has been a Hurricane since 2013 when Blackman has been a Seminole for a couple of months. So I thought that could have been a nice extra advantage for Miami. But the next couple of weeks, it's going to tell us a lot. Next couple of weeks, watching Miami and Florida State playing, you know, more beatable opponents will show you how good is Blackman. A very good very good high school player, but also undersized, a little bit skinny, a little bit of a beanpole. You know, how does he translate immediately to the college game? And also, like, seeing extended time against Toledo coming up is going to show you, you know, what Malik Rozier can really do. So we're going to know a lot more about these teams when they finally square off October 7th in Tallahassee. It's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that game. And I just hope, and I'm surprised I haven't heard from that Florida State fan who will text me in the running countdown of days since Miami beat Florida State back in 2009, I hope we can finally put an end to this 7-straight-year nonsense of Miami not beating FSU. My cousin, who is a Florida State fan, she lives in Orlando. She sent me this picture before Hurricane Irma of a storm shutter with a Florida State Seminole logo on it saying, guys, this is the only way to keep your house safe. A hurricane hasn't gotten past this in 7 years. Oh! It hurt. Funny because it's true, though. Oh, man. Oh, Dave from Manitoba checking in on the plumbers911.com text line. He says he's safe from the storm. Live another day to listen to the Dono Show. I'm glad you're listening. Another texter writes in, Anthony Lynn makes a good point, but the Chargers have one game of real play. Dolphins are still in preseason mode. I think that at the professional level, it's more like flipping a switch from preseason into regular season, especially when it's not the first year of a new head coach. Like, I would have been more worried about that. If this were to happen last year in Gase's first season, would have been more concerned about it. But, yeah, I'm not as concerned about the rust factor. I'm just more concerned about the idea that as a fan, I don't really know who the Dolphins are at this point. But at least Anthony Lynn doesn't know either. He doesn't have that tape to study on Miami. So I will use that as any advantage possible. Oh, how about this? Texter writes in, Donna, we finally have power back in North Miami Beach. There you go. And I know Palmetto Bay got power back today where my parents live. What have you been doing the last couple days? Like, seriously, for those of you who have not had power until maybe a few hours ago, have you been able to check your fantasy scores? Have you watched any NFL action from the past week? Because, you know, I watched the Patriots-Kansas City game on Thursday night, which was glorious. And, man, Patriots looked so good for the early part of that game. Man, I was impressed with Alex Smith. I was impressed with Kansas City. I was impressed with that rookie running back.
Kareem Hunt.
You have him on your fantasy team? The way you're excited about that, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, 40 points in a standard league.
That was crazy. Oh, wow. 40 points in a standard league. Jeez. The man, the myth, the legend, Kareem Hunt. It was weird. Like, going through, in my entire life, I can never remember week one of an NFL season and me not being able to live watch a second of football on a Sunday. And you know what? Even though I had power for most of Saturday, I didn't watch much college football last week because I was watching Craig Setzer on CBS4. Every 10 minutes, I wanted to see if there was a change in the path of Irma, right? And, like, tell me if you can relate to this. Would you get excited every time the new advisory would come out and it would shift, like, another quarter inch to the left, another quarter inch west? Did you get as excited as I did? Because I remember, like, telling my wife throughout the day Saturday, it's looking good. It's trending towards the west. Every advisory that comes out, it's going a little bit more west, a little bit more west. Like, it was almost like I was betting on it like I was at the racetrack. Like, I bet you it goes another quarter inch over to the west at this point. That was getting me very excited this past Saturday, watching the path of that storm. And obviously, felt bad. Like, I've got family over on the west coast of Florida, so was worried about them. But they had already evacuated the state by that point. Worried about their property, but not about their safety. But, yeah, I mean, watching that storm turn, watching Craig Setzer give us the latest, that was what I was consumed with this past Saturday. Oh, how about this? Texter says, oh, I spent all last couple of days just smoking weed. Okay. I appreciate that. I think Jemele Hill is artificial intelligence, a Texter writes in. Ooh, well, she got political. She did get political. Artificial intelligence. Could they be taking over the universe? 56022 is how you reach us on the plumbers911.com text line. Please don't text and drive. The other thing this weekend, as people start to get power back and they start to think about how they're going to spend their time, you're pumped about watching college football on Saturday, even though the Canes don't play. You're pumped about watching an NFL Sunday. You're pumped about following your fantasy team. I hope you're also pumped for Canelo Triple G. Triple G Canelo. I should give him first billing because Triple G is the one with championship belts on the line this weekend. It's going to be a great fight. And honestly, I think that one of the greatest myths for the last couple of months has been this idea that Triple G Canelo is some secret. Because every time you talk to a boxing fan, every time you read an article about boxing, every time you watch a boxing segment on ESPN or Fox Sports 1, every boxing analyst will say, well, fans don't even know this is happening. This is like a travesty that nobody even realizes that September 16th, Triple G versus Canelo is coming up. Like, nobody even knows this is happening. I think that's a fallacy. I think that's a great narrative created by the media that nobody realizes this fight is happening. I got news for you. Everybody knows this fight is happening. But it's almost like, you know how Canes fans, they thrive under the adversity of thinking, oh, everybody hates us. Lou Holtz, Mark May, Brent Musburger, they all despise us. We thrive under that adversity. I think boxing fans felt the same way about Canelo Triple G. They created this narrative that, oh, nobody even knows this fight is happening. Everybody knows this fight is happening. Anything you watched in the buildup of Mayweather-McGregor, every boxing fan would say, well, guys, we got this great fight coming up in 3 weeks. Like, oh, I know you're excited for the freak show September 16th, Canelo Triple G. That's going to be the fight to end all fights. Everybody knows this is coming up, and it is going to be an awesome fight. It's really razor thin with the margins, right? I'm slightly backing Triple G. I think he wins the fight, but man, this has, I think, the makings of being an epic. Triple G versus Canelo this Saturday on pay-per-view. And to break all of that down, my friends, to give us the skinny, we're going to hear from one of the best writers. And this is one of those people who was telling you for months, Canelo versus Triple G is going to be awesome. Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports. Kevin Ioli covers both the UFC and boxing at a very high level. YahooSports.com. He's going to join us here to give you the skinny on Canelo versus Triple G as the Alex Dono Show rolls on here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.